your troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. And love's strange, so real in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart when the light gets into your heart, baby.
Well, everybody, welcome to the Stars Aligned show. We're on episode 202 of season 2, so we're excited. I'm Dustin Bork. Chris McSwiggin is on the line calling in.
I am we're calling in. I'm actually in studio. I'm good.
Oh, you sound like RoboCop.
What can I say? I was rushing.
Chris is going to try to get that word that fixed.
But
yeah, all right. I can't understand a word you're saying. But so we're in a little bit better spirits because it was a win. It was an ugly win. It was a Washington-Dallas game. That's what it was. 27-23. You know, if you look at that, I don't know, like as a non-fan from far away, you might think, okay, whatever, 27-23, that's a pretty average game. It's not, you know, a defensive battle, and it's not a shootout by any means. But somebody would definitely be like, yeah, whatever, 27-23, nothing to write home about. The thing, if you're an actual fan of what happened and what went on and all the different things that happened, you understand that Dallas made a giant leap forward as far as Ezekiel Elliott. But the passing is just not there. And I just don't know if – I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that Dak's still not comfortable with the system. I don't know if it's the fact that he needs to work on his chemistry with his receivers, but the passing game's not there. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I understand Tony Romo.
I don't know about that. I don't know if it's not where it's supposed to be. I mean, the dude is a rookie who we have zero.
Chris's mic is garbage. So I'm going to tell him right now, Mike is garbage in the chat box or whatever.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Using.
There he is. That's much better.
So I'm good now, Paul. I'm good. What I was saying was it's not necessarily that the passing game is not where it needs to be. It's more the fact that this kid's a rookie. We had zero expectations for him coming in. And look at us last year, okay? We could not get the ball over the 50-yard line last year. We were scoring between 3 to 6 points a game. Lucky if we got 9, okay? And that's not the case. We have scored, whether it be it on the ground or be it through the air, we have scored in every quarter of this season so far. We're the only team in the league to have done that, besides maybe New England.
Really? Have we scored through the air?
Yeah, he threw a touchdown today.
To who?
I believe.
No.
I'm trying to think.
No.
Maybe if he threw one. No. Maybe he didn't throw one. But either way, we scored.
No. Your point was that through the air or on the ground, we have yet to see a throwing touchdown out of Dak Prescott in 2 NFL starts and over 75 throws. So he gets us down there to field goal range. I love it.
Well, okay. Did you honestly expect? I mean, looking at what Kellen Moore did last year.
I expect a guy that can freaking throw it in the end zone. I just saw a graphic that said only 2 people in NFL history have had this many completions with no interceptions. Dak Prescott and Warren Moon. I want to know how many rookies have had that many completions without throwing a goddamn touchdown. Because that's terrible, Chris. I'd rather see 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, then no touchdowns in back-to-back games when you've got one of the best wide receivers in the game today and you've got a poor man's Julian Edelman, Wes Welker on your team, and Cole Beasley, who should be a red zone nightmare, a goal line impossibility to cover. And then you've got a Hall of Famer, Jason Witten, as your tight end. And you can't get that ball in the end zone through the air in the red zone, Chris?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to look at the thing today. I remember the game. I remember watching the game.
I don't
watched
need
every,
optimism.
Every...
I need brutal honesty from you. Don't be optimistic, Dallas Cowboys, Chris McSwiggins. I need you to be brutally honest because this is pathetic, Chris. You're going to tell me that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott?
No, and he showed today that he's not. But
Kirk Cousins
has
got a touchdown.
Okay, but sometimes that doesn't necessarily matter. You see, the quarterback's job – no, hold on. The quarterback's job is to put his team in a position to win the game or to go win the game. By getting us down there, we have arguably – hold on. In my opinion –
That's
okay,
what the Seattle quarterback's
opinion,
job is.
Okay, and look at Seattle. They've been in two consecutive Super Bowls outside of this year, and they're the winning NFC team
and look
this
at
decade.
Them,
okay.
Now, and look at them the last two games this season. They're winning games 9-3. That's dog shit.
But the fact is,
I don't want that
winning.
For my team. No, I'm sorry.
A W
I would
is a W.
I'll take my 1-1 record over two wins where we can't even score double digits. That's horrible football, Chris. That's terrible. That is terrible.
Well,
that's not a
that
quarterback.
That is terrible football, yes. That is terrible football. But the fact is, Dak, I wasn't expecting Dak to come in and light it up. I wasn't even really expecting, honestly, touchdowns and passing touchdowns and this and that. I was honestly, and you know me, I'm Mr. Optimism usually, okay? But for me, I was fearing the worst. I was expecting Dak Prescott, as great as he did in the preseason, That's the preseason. That doesn't necessarily count. I was expecting Dak Prescott to be a lot like Kellen Moore and Castle last year. Not in sync with the offense, overthrowing guys, you know, underthrowing guys, not reading his routes properly, you know, different. No, Dak Prescott has been between the 20-yard lines as solid as any quarterback in the NFL has been. Now, it's 2 weeks that he's played. He's got probably two, maybe three more in him before Romo comes back.
Did you see those fades he threw to Dez Bryant, Chris?
I did, and he's not going to be perfect every time.
Exactly. No. First of all, Tom Brady's not perfect, so let's get that shit the hell out of here. But second
I'm
of all,
saying, he's not
a fade
he's not a
route,
veteran Hall of
Chris,
Fame quarterback. The dude's playing a second
route.
Ever game.
A fade route. You pick a spot in the crowd, and you throw to it. He threw four of them to Dez. He gave Dez zero shot at all four of them. They were high and outside. Dez got one hand on one of them, and his feet were freaking 2 feet out of bounds. He can't do crap in the red zone, Chris. It's driving me nuts. And don't tell me you expected, you know, this and that out of him, and you were expecting Matt Castle. Dude,
well,
Matt Castle's garbage.
Thing,
Kellen Moore is garbage. They're career backups. Well, didn't
okay, but here,
you
here's
tell
the thing,
me you're
Dustin,
the college guy? You're the college guy, right?
You
watch any of them at Mississippi State?
Yes, I watched them a lot at Mississippi State.
How many of those
games
would be held without a passing touchdown? Zero. A
couple of them, actually. No, he had one or two. But listen, here's the thing, okay, about Dak. And I know you go off of emotion, but I go off of my journalism degree and logic. And I analyzed this game. And I'm looking at what Dak Prescott can do, what he can't do. And Dak Prescott, even at Mississippi State, was not a down-the-field guy. Okay, he's not Joe Flacco who's going to stand there and throw it 70 yards accurately in the air. That's not his game. Okay, maybe he can develop it as Romo withers away more and Dak becomes the guy. Sure, maybe. But right
Chris,
now.
Why is every announcer, why is John Gruden saying he's a big arm down the field quarterback, but you with your journalism degree are disagreeing with these professional
because,
coaches and analysts?
No, because he's a big arm guy, but I'm not necessarily saying he's accurate. Okay?
I don't care. Throw the ball.
Okay, but he's got a cannon.
Do you need a big arm to throw a 15-yard out route? Do you need a big yard to throw a quick slant?
Well, I was getting to a lot of that is play calling. And I noticed that you talk about play calling decisions. They have not. Today, they opened it up a little bit. But against the Giants, they were very conservative in the play calling for Dak. A lot of check downs, a lot of short slants, a lot of throws to Beasley. Today, they opened it up a little more. Maybe they turned one or two pages in the book. Okay, they moved Dez around the formation. They had Beasley going left and right. But really, all they did through the air was I believe, Dez, Beasley, and Whitney. I don't think Bryce Butler or Terrence Williams caught a pass today. So I don't know if Jeff Swaim did. But what I'm saying is they play sometimes you're going to have a guy who can do what a Joe Flacco is or an Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers is more mobile, so I'll use Flacco as the example. Or an Andrew Luck even can drop back 3 to 5 step drop and fire a 30-yard pass, boom, on the money accurate. But then you're going to have quarterbacks like Dak who are insanely accurate 5 to 7 yard passes. You're going to have, he's a guy who can move around. You know how many plays he extended today? You know how many plays there were dead plays that he used his legs to free up receivers? He's always been an option. He was an option quarterback. That's what Mississippi State was when he was drafted. He was an option team. And then they said, oh, all right, he's an option quarterback, but he can throw the ball. All right, let's open this up a bit for him. So he didn't start off as this kind of quarterback. He started off as a spread option guy. And he can run the football. Okay, he can take a hit. He showed that today. All right, and he is a natural, instinctual player. There have been some throws that Dak has made that I don't think another backup quarterback in the league right now, unless they're a veteran backup, could make as a rookie. And that's all about the instincts, about his poise, about what I've been impressed with Dak. For several reasons. I've also been disappointed for several reasons, but I've been disappointed about, you know, some of the overthrows, some of the easy plays that could have necessarily been scores or could have been, you know, whatever they were. But I've been impressed with Dak, with his poise in the pocket on national television for America's team with all the cameras on you and an 0-1 start and playing pretty damn well the first week too, okay? I've been impressed with the way that he has marched this offense consistently up and down the field and has put the team in positions to score and has put the team, you know, has put opposing defenses on their heels as a rookie. And like I said, Dallas has scored every single quarter this season, and I'm pretty sure they're the only team to do that. So Dak has done some positive things. What I'm more disappointed about today, because Dak, to me, great game, no interceptions, no turnovers. I would be disappointed if Dak put us in a position to lose. What I'm more disappointed about, and what almost cost us the game, honestly, is Jerry Jones's prodigy, the splash pick at number 4, Ezekiel Elliott. You said last week some words. You had some choice words for Ezekiel. I was optimistic, like I usually am. I said, that's his first game, let him go. 2 fumbles today, one of which almost cost us the game. If it wasn't for Barry Church making a hell of a play in the end zone, we probably do lose this game today. So, you know, that was something that I'm a little upset about when it comes to that. Alfred Morris looked great. I don't know why Alfred Morris is not going to be the starter going forward, but if we're going to talk about people who played like dog, you know what? It's going to be Zeke today, not Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem is it's a quarterback-driven league, all right? Quarterbacks are not brought into this league to throw for almost 300 yards and no touchdowns, okay? That, to me, is the definition of the Dallas Cowboys in today. Just good enough to be there. Just good enough to sit at the table. Just good enough to play in the game. Just good enough to, you know, play a few hands, but – never ever gonna make the big splash. Never ever going to just win and do it the right way. Never gonna dominate. And you alluded to coaching decisions. How about let's see if I got the box score in front of me. So it's 13-10. I believe it was 13. I think it was 21-13. I might be wrong. It was before Washington scored their other time in the third quarter. And Jason Garrett decides to come out with the onside kick. 20-13, and he hits him with the onside kick. No, it wasn't 20. You know what? You're wrong, because it was only a field goal. So we were only winning by a field goal when he did the onside kick, or we were only losing by a field goal. That's what it was. He did the onside kick.
Okay,
and
so 23-20. Okay.
Yeah, we were down. We were down at that point. Goes for the onside kick, just botches the kick. Dan Bailey, best kicker in the league, botches that kick. Doesn't even go 10 yards. They completely catch the Redskins with their pants down. Ball doesn't go 10 yards. Gives the Redskins the ball on our 40, which ends up being the Kirk Cousins red zone, I think, interception. If I'm not mistaken, otherwise it might have just been their second field goal, which put them up 6, and then maybe the interception happened in the fourth quarter. The game's a blur for me right now, because I was basically enraged throughout 90% of it and just blacked out. But for the most part, okay, I love that move. I love that move because I loved Sean Payton in the Super Bowl with that onside kick against the Colts, I believe it was.
But he gets
the onside kick. And it works, and they weren't expecting it. And you make a statement coming out of halftime saying, you know what, I don't care. We're getting this ball because we want it right now. And I loved that play. Now, excuse me, when you can't execute, that's one thing. When you've got the best kicker in the NFL, I don't understand how you
kicker.
Can't.
Yes.
You're kicking the ball. Yeah, but I'm sorry. He's got one job to do, and that's put his foot on a football. He's got to be practicing onside kicks at some point throughout the week. He's only got so much stuff to do. You know, he doesn't have to watch a lot of film. I would actually like to see like a documentary on a kicker and see what it is the hell that they do all week. Because you see Hard Knocks, I never see a kicker in the whole goddamn show. I don't know what they do.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They must be sitting in a field somewhere just kicking some balls, and then maybe they go home. Who the hell knows what they do? I don't know. But anyways, you know, if their one job is to put their foot on some pigskin, that they're practicing onside kicks. They got what they want. They got in their head, I got my sweet kick. I know where to hit the ball, and I got a good idea. Jason Garrett's not making that coaching call because he is a historic pussy to big plays and making aggressive play call. He went for it on fourth down today. I could not believe it. You know, I don't know if he woke up feeling good, had sex with the wife last night. He was just mojo was flying. But then here's my problem. 26 seconds, 3 timeouts, Chris, before halftime. What does he do? He runs the clock out. We had a 3-point lead on the Redskins going into halftime with 26 seconds and 3 timeouts, Chris. Not one, all of them. And he basically takes a knee. He does a draw to Ezekiel Elliott, and then it ends up running the clock out. Then, third quarter, middle of the third quarter, 6 minutes left, onside kick. What? So you don't take the calculated risk that is basically a win-win. Anybody, I beg you, argue with me the downside of taking a few shots down the field with 26 seconds left and 3 timeouts. If he throws a pick, it's on the other team's 30. It's on the other team's 20. Maybe it's in the other team's end zone. And they had no timeouts. Washington had no timeouts. There's no downside. The 1% risk is that he gets like a sack fumble for a return for a touchdown. But I'm willing to take that risk to get 7 points. And
well, you
then
know what it was.
Be up 10 going into halftime.
If that was Romo,
he wouldn't have done it either. No.
Well, no.
Garrett's got
no balls. Well, maybe because of Romo's injury history, he probably wouldn't have done it. But the fact is that I think what they're doing right now, and it's unfortunate.
They're just trying not to lose the game. They're not trying to win it.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what I said last week. Try not to lose, but not necessarily going out trying to win.
But you're not going to do anything like that.
Exactly. But here's the thing about Dak that kind of irritates me is that, well, no, it's not about Dak himself. This is about their reaction. You know, this is about them and Dak. What gets to me is that they, on the website, and I don't know if you have the app on your phone, but the Dallas Cowboy app is a great, great app. It, you know, gives you a lot of updates and a lot of everything. It's actually an awesome app. I would recommend checking it out if you don't have it. But I've been saying nothing all week except for the poise and the praise for Prescott and how great he is in practice and this and that and how strong his arm is and, you know, how they're so proud of him and all this. But yet they get to Sunday, and it's almost like they take the playbook, they cut it in half, and then they only give him about 3 or 4 pages of it. I mean, today it almost seems like they'll say all week they have all this praise in Dak, and he can do anything on the field, and he's a very multi-talented guy. He can run, he can pass, he's accurate, he's got a big arm, he's got poise. To the Dallas Cowboys and the way that they talk about Dak Prescott, you would think this guy's Aaron Rodgers. You would think he's, you know, Tom Brady. You think he's Peyton Manning. The way that
the second coming of Cam Newton or somebody, you know, they talk about him like he's going to be the heir apparent to Tony Romo.
Yeah, which is okay, that's fine. But then you get to Sunday, and you close up the playbook on him, and you don't let him go out there and win you football games. You go out there and have him game manage. And this is a guy, and I know you're not a college football guy, so, and I know I've explained this a little bit last year, but this is a guy who all he has done in his career is be put in a position to win football games. When he was at Mississippi State, they were in the SEC. They were a basement team in the SEC. They were basically a doormat in the SEC, okay? They get this Dak Prescott kid in. They put some pieces around him. He didn't have much, but they put some pieces, a couple pieces around him here and there, okay? He is basically a legend at that school. They basically have a statue out front for him because he took Mississippi State from the brink of abyss, 2-win seasons, 1-win seasons, 3-win seasons consistently, brought them to number one in the country, and in the entire country, and slayed the mighty giant known as Alabama, okay, and LSU, and different schools like that, all right? And now, when people want to talk about accolades, oh, that's just college, that doesn't matter. Okay, but when you're playing in college, that's the top of the rock right there, okay? And he did it. And he had very good stats, very few interceptions, but what would he do? He was instinctual, just like we saw a little bit of today, okay? He would make plays with his feet. If nothing was there, and you know how many times Dak took off today, and when nothing was there, took off running, gained positive yards and slide, or you know his run to the end zone was not designed. He just did that. You know,
three times. He didn't do it a lot. He's not out there pulling a Cam Newton. He's not out there pulling Russell Wilson with a bootleg
Hurdy. Well, because we're able to get guys open, and they're not running the bootleg for him because hold on, I'm getting to my point. They're so
if we're able to get guys open, why can't he throw a passing touchdown?
You know, I don't know. But
okay,
but
so then we're clearly not able to get guys open. We got a caller on the line, 717 number. What's going on, caller?
Hey, it's Mike in Pennsylvania. Just a few of my takes from the game. First, I'll go with the bad that Jason Garrett attempted onside kick. I
didn't
like the timing.
Okay.
You're only up 3 points when he tried it. Garrett, that was a bad decision. I'm a Cowboys fan, but let's be realistic. If Cousins doesn't throw that pick in the end zone, you know, the Redskins are up 10 points. It might not even be a close game.
You remember? Do you remember the deep balls that they just barely missed? Cousin had 2 deep balls, 1 to D-Jack,
yeah,
and then one to
Jackson,
I forget.
Yeah.
They could have been up 20, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've said it from the beginning, Ezekiel Elliott, they need defense. I mean, he's a good back, but I don't see anything that makes me think he's you know, top elite. The way the defense is playing, that front.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Carl. I mentioned this to Chris last week. DeMarco Murray had some meat on his bones, was a little taller. So he could mix it up and do that, you know, that I formation, go right up the gut, pick up 5-6. Ezekiel Elliott's a little shorter, a little Mojo-esque, Maurice Jones-Drew kind of. Why are we not doing didn't both of you guys notice that the only times he had a big run, it was an outside run? It was a lot of counter plays where you had, you know, Frederick swing out to the outside block. There were outside runs. He's being pulled into the gut where all the big guys are.
I think it's knowing the speed guy. I mean, you see him at Ohio State, he's a speed guy. My thing, you mentioned DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray reminds me a lot of, body style-wise, I mean, Morris is a little bit thicker, but he reminds me more so of Alfred Morris. My question is, why aren't they starting Morris and having Zeke be the factor back that provides that spark at the end of the game, that, you know, that third down end around where you can just take off?
Because you got Jerry. Okay. Because you got Jerry Jones as an owner who's more worried about perception and other things that's on the football field. That's exactly why. Do you think Garrett's making that call? Do you think that's Jason Garrett's decision, or do you think Jones – maybe not forcing him to do it, but saying, you know, hey, well, maybe, you know, he's a top pick, and, you know, I got to prove that I made the right decision and not taking a defensive player, you know, in the top five picks.
If Ezekiel Elliott is
what's your name?
Next week, I was saying if Ezekiel Elliott is a starter next week, that's Jerry Jones and not Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett, even though he's not very ballsy at the right times, he's not an aggressive coach. Jason Garrett is a smart coach, and he at least knows when I got to bench a guy, and that's why he pulled Ezekiel Elliott after the second fumble and put Morris in. So that's how you know he is at least a decently intelligent coach. But I'm telling you right now, if Ezekiel Elliott starts the game next week, then the caller's got a point. What was it? It was Matt from Pennsylvania. What was your name again?
Mike,
you had a second point, didn't you? What else did you want to make?
Well, I mean, I could go on, but I don't want to take up too much of your time.
No,
you're
good, man.
You know, well, Terrence Williams on the other side, he's just – I don't know what he's doing anymore. It just
– His head didn't look like it was in it. So what happened against the Giants week one, his head wasn't – it didn't look like he was even into the game today at all. I mean, the like I said to Dustin at the beginning of the show.
You think he's got Patrick Creighton disease?
Maybe. Well, Patrick Creighton
is
different.
Patrick Creighton, you know, he had some good games, and he had some big games where he, you know, especially against the Giants in the playoffs, but I'm not going to go there. But, Williams on the other side, something has to be done. I don't know if there's any options this year. The good point, how about Morris Claiborne? I am impressed what I'm seeing so far. Now, you got to remember, he's not getting any help from the defensive line getting pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So this is coverage that he's covering these guys a little longer than the average corner would be because, you know, Cowboys' defensive line's so bad. So I thought he had an excellent game for the lack of pressure that was even getting up there. Now, when D-Law and Gregory, you know, if they come back and they get somewhat the full strength and get some pressure, I think Claiborne set up maybe to have a real good season.
Yeah, and, you know, he said he was going to do that when he was coming back this year. He said he's in great shape. He's coming back motivated. You know, he's been working in the off season and all this stuff. And you know, I was like, okay, yeah, Claiborne, he was a bust, whatever. I'll see it when I see it. But he's played well. And, you know, Orlando Scandrick has been our best corner. I'm not super wild on him, but he's been our best secondary player over the past 5-6 years. But then you get Dustin's buddy, who he just loves Carr. No, I'm just kidding. He hates Brandon Carr. But, you know, I just think that our secondary, you look at it, and
I don't necessarily hate him now that he took the pay cut. I hate guys that are double-digit.
Well, true.
I'm
talking
above 10
and
mil.
Have all their money.
Yeah.
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 But the thing is, what killed me today was just like we couldn't stop the run last week, late in the game could stop the pass. That one throw to that rookie there, Doctson from TCU, you can't get more open than that. And, I mean, that almost cost us, you know, the game. Our secondary is Swiss cheese. It really is. And, I mean, you've got Mo Claiborne, who's been playing okay. Skandrick plays well when he's playing, you know, when he's on, but sometimes he has a tendency to disappear and things. Byron Jones, I like, but he can only do so much. And then, you know,
he did a decent job on Reed. He did a decent job on Reed. He gave up the pass early.
And, you know, he locked down, what was the guy's name last year? He was being praised for his work against, I don't know if it was Jimmy Graham or who it was, but there was a big tight end he shut down last year pretty well, too. So
I think the caller's got a great point about no pass rush, because when you think about it,
no, zero.
There are a lot of Hall of Fame coaches that are now announcers, and there are a lot of just great coaches that have said, if you do not put pressure on the quarterback, any secondary is going to get toasted after about 4 or 5 seconds, because you can only lock somebody down for so long until a broken play happens, and then one guy runs one way, the other guy runs the other, and then you're screwed. I mean, we saw that a lot with Antonio Brown last week, where he torched the D. So it's like a lot of the stuff is this pass rush. You know, this defense, a lot of people don't remember, Cowboys defense used to be called the Doomsday defense. And we are a long way away from ever being called that ever again, unless you're talking about how bad they are, that it's our own personal doomsday. But I don't think that the secondary is that awful. I just think that the pass rush is that awful. That any – you could put – and I'm bringing this really extreme, Chris, and I think I'd be right 80% of the time. But if you put Sherman and the Seattle secondary out there with no pass rush, I think they're having a rough game. All of them. Chancellor, you put them all out there. All four of those guys, the two starting corners, the two safeties, if they don't have their big guys that pass rush, Bennett, who had a big game today, I really think Sherman was in this league before they won a Super Bowl, and wasn't that talked about. Yeah. So I think it is a pass rush thing now, and I don't know, man.
It very well could be. That's a solid point, but we have had pass rush before. I mean, our secondary has been terrible back when we had the number one pass rush in the league back a couple years ago, the year the caller referenced against the Giants. We had DeMarcus Ware and those guys, and he led the team in sacks and led the league. We still were dice, it seemed like, through the air consistently. The one area of this team that has not been addressed has been secondary. We drafted Byron Jones to sort of quiet those rumors, you know, before. But again, it's one guy, and he's a safety position. I mean,
and do you think it's convenient? Do you think it's like a shocker that the one secondary guy Jerry picks up happens to own a Guinness Book of World Record? You know what I mean?
No, not at all. It's a splash. My thing is, I was pissed this year. I was watching the draft with a lot of Cowboys fans, some Giants fans, a few others, but I was watching them, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. You know, Ramsey fell to us. I thought Jalen Ramsey was going one or two before the quarterback thing happened. And I was like, all right, he's going to go three. No, Bosa goes three. Then I'm like, okay, oh my God, the Chargers took Bosa. We're getting Ramsey. I was like, we're finally getting Jalen, you know, we're doing something with our secondary. And, and he's been looked at. Jalen Ramsey has been looked at as a guy who could shut down half the field and a complete shutdown corner and the best upside in the draft, the potential. And I'm like, finally. And then I hear, with the fourth pick in the 2016 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Ezekiel Elliott. And I'm just like, I just literally put my hand on my forehead like, what are you doing? This was before the McFadden injury. But I was like, what are you doing? I was like, we have McFadden, who got 1,000 yards for the first time in his career last season. We got Morris, who's had 1,000 yards in three of his first 4 years. I was like, no.
I agree that when you sign a guy like Alfred Morris, who's still very young, that we probably should have given him a shot. I think that it's way too packed back there. But, all right, caller, I got two questions for you before we let you go. First one is, next week, Bears, I call this a trap game. This should be a 10-point win by us. But seeing how bad our defense was today, I could see dipshit Cutler lighten us up, especially with Jeffrey. what do you think about that game? Give me a prediction. And then second, tell me right now, would you prefer to have Bosa or Ramsey over Ezekiel Elliott?
I'll answer the second one first. I'd rather have Bosa or Ramsey just because of the defense is that bad. As far as next week, Cutler's had some big games against the Cowboys on these Sunday night, Monday night games.
Yeah,
I think
Sunday
the one advantage
at 8:30.
The one advantage Cowboys do have is the Bears are playing a Monday night game tomorrow night against the Eagles. And a lot of the times on a short week, the team from Monday night, you know, would have a little less rest. Cowboys will have that extra day, well, day and a half, because, you know, it's tomorrow it's Monday night. So I'm not sure, but my last – I'll make a final point and I'll go. You said something about the Giants. If any Giants fans listening to the show right now, I'm not impressed. Okay, you beat the Cowboys last week by a point because
they shouldn't
Williams
have.
Doesn't go out of bounds, and they shouldn't
yeah.
have. And Dallas controlled the clock the whole game, and they were kicking field goals. And you beat a terrible New Orleans Saints by 3 points. And I'm tired of hearing all these announcers and everyone on TV saying the Giants are back. They made all these great additions on their defensive line. Okay, it's a little better than it's been, but I'm not impressed with the Giants. I think that division's wide open still. So
yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, if you heard what I had said last week, I went off on the fact that we couldn't close that game out because I agree with you. And I think, shockingly, that the Washington Redskins are and always have been the hardest team for us to beat in this division.
Always.
Not the Eagles,
yeah.
Not the Giants. So I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, well, caller, you said it was Mike, right? Mike, we do appreciate
yeah.
your call. It's always great to know people listening from outside of the two geographical areas that we're in. So that's great. We do this every single Sunday after the game. It's a little bit later on tonight because we both had obligations after the game, but normally it's about 10 minutes after the game ends. We're on here going over the game and giving our take.
So you'll have a late start next week? You have a late start next week because the Sunday night game.
Yeah, it's going to be a really late start. Yeah, it's going to be it'll be direct after the game. And also, Dustin and I and all that and whatnot. So make sure you check us out and feel free to call in next week if you'd like. But now Dustin, caller made a point actually, and I was saying this today. Yeah, they're 2-0. Okay, great. They're 2-0, 1-0 in the division. Arguably now it's coulda, woulda, shoulda at this point. That's saying, oh, we should have beat the Giants. Terrence Williams, if he gets out of bounds, Bailey hits that kick. That's not even guaranteed. It would have been a 60-plus yarder. But whatever. It happens. It's over. It's done with. But the New York Giants squeaked past a bad Saints team today, squeaked past us last week. And I think the caller is completely right. A win today puts us right back in the mix of this again. Because had we dropped to 0-2, not only would we be 0-2, we'd be 0-2 in the division. We would have a huge hole. Now, we get the Washington Redskins, who I don't honestly feel are that bad of a team. I think they had a bad
yeah.
game today.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bad game today, and there were certain things that we did right to win the game and different things. But honestly, I
Chris,
think
you
the
know
Redskins
what it is? I think they're
life.
Both. I think that the Redskins and us are average teams, and the tie goes
yeah.
to superstars, the star power. And as much as anybody who doesn't like the Cowboys,
the Giants have star power, but
Tony Romo is a star.
Today. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, Tony Romo's a star. Dez is a star.
Sure.
Our O-line that I think is overhyped is a star as a whole. And that's three stars to Washington's maybe DeSean Jackson. You know what I mean? Like, and then Josh Norman. So it's like star power is going to win. They're both average teams with major deficiencies, but star power wins
this.
Out.
I'm picking this next week. The Washington Redskins go into MetLife and beat the Giants next week. I'm calling
yeah.
it. And because I don't think the Giants have the linebackers to cover Jordan Reed. I think Kirk Cousins has a bounce back. And we're going to see Odell Beckham versus dormant.
You know what I'm calling, though? You know what I'm calling? Mm. You can't clone Josh Norman twice. I think Victor Cruz has a coming out party against the dipshit that's been getting scorched the last two games.
Breland? Rashad Breland?
Yeah.
Well, I still think the Redskins need to get a win, desperately. I don't think the Giants are that good. I honestly don't. I think that this is a trap game for the Giants. They're riding high. They're 2-0. They've got
no one's talking about the Eagles.
I'm getting to that next. But they're saying that the Giants have like the third easiest schedule in the league or something crazy like that. Giants are riding high right now. Redskins, I'm calling it right now, and I'm going to put it on the website when I make my predictions for next week. I'm calling it, book it in stone. I can't give you a score, but the Redskins beat the Giants next week. Now, the Eagles, I want to see them tomorrow night. I didn't get a chance to watch much of the Browns game in week one, but I do know Carson Wentz played okay. But overall, the Eagles are the Eagles. The Eagles are a train wreck. I mean, honestly, they've lost
Browns
all their starters. The Eagles are a train wreck. The Browns are a dumpster fire. Okay.
Yeah.
But
it's more
the Eagles lost all their starters. They came into this season not really having a game plan and brand new head coach, didn't have an identity. Okay. And they play the Browns week one. Tomorrow night is going to really give me the opportunity to see the Bears, who we have next week, and the Eagles, who we'll have on the horizon, and to know what each team brings. Because I think the only reason the Bears are a bad matchup for us is Alshon Jeffery. Okay, Jeffery on one side, he has killed us every single time. I don't know why we can't lock the guy down, but it's happened. So I want to see that. I want to see how Cutler plays on prime time. Okay, this new guy, Jeremy Langford, their young running back from Michigan State, he's been playing well. So I kind of want to see what the Bears have, but I don't think the Bears are that great. I think they're going to finish in last in their division. I think they're going to be another top 10 draft pick. Okay, so I don't think the Bears are that great. The Eagles, I don't think have a shot in this division. Right now, honestly, and I know I'm more of I'm Mr. Optimist, oh boy, but, you know, I always am, but I honestly do feel, and I'm not saying this out of bias, that this division will come down to the Cowboys at the end against either Washington or the Giants. Now, I think it's probably going to be Cowboys-Giants battling out, one for the division, one for the wild card. And, yeah, we're not impressed with the Giants, but the fact is they've already won two games. They're already, you know, almost a quarter of the way there. They need to – one of these two teams, that division is going to send two teams. One wild card, I'm predicting, and one division winner. That's just me. And at the end of the season, I think Romo's back. We can keep him healthy. He has the chemistry. I think this is our best offensive team we've had in a while because of our versatility at running back. And if we can get some defensive consistency, I really honestly feel like this is our shot. Had we dropped to 0-2 today, I'd be sweating a little bit. I'd be a little nervous. But just like the 12-4 year 2 years ago when we got screwed in Green Bay, we started that season 0-1. Now, is this the same team? No, not at all. I'm not saying we're going to rattle off 7 straight wins like we did that year. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying everybody in Big D was freaking out. Oh, my God, the Cowboys are 0-1, and this is, you know, we're 1-15 without Romo, and, you know, this is just going to be a disaster. I said, calm down, relax. It was a game that should have been won. Dak Prescott put us in a position to win it late, and Terrence Williams just forgot how to play football in the final seconds, okay? This game today proves that this Cowboy team can win without Romo, has the capability to move the football against a top, what was the Redskins? I think a top 15 defense last year. Okay, ability to move the ball. Like I said in the beginning of the show, they've scored every quarter this season, be it a field goal or a touchdown. It's the only team in the league to do that. Okay, they have been on a roll from the 20 to the 20. Week 3, they can clean it up. Okay, they can come down the field and they can, get those plays in the red zone. They're still working the kinks out. It's week two, but I really, honestly feel, truly feel, that this team is on the right track. I do. If we get a couple defensive pieces, some guys that can stay off the pot, some guys that can, not beat the heck out of their wives, guys that are class character guys on the defensive side, I think our offense is fine. And if Romo hangs up the cleats at the end of this season, I'm saying I have all the faith in the world for Dak Prescott to develop into another good. I'm not going to say great, but another good quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. Romo's under contract for 3 more years. But I definitely feel we're on the right track and we're trending upward. And that makes me happy when I was expecting to be miserable for 6 weeks to start the year. And I'm not feeling that right now. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I just don't – I don't know. I don't have optimism for a team that can't stop a nosebleed. I was sitting there as the game's happening, and we're losing the lead, getting the lead back, I'm sitting there all stressed out, and I'm thinking to myself, even if we pull this out, how good are we? You know what I mean? Like, when we were 12-4 in 2014, Chris, I would have bet significant amount of money on us winning in Seattle and going to the Super Bowl. I would have done it.
Oh, me
because
too.
I was
me too,
confident.
Because we beat them earlier in the year. Yeah.
I watched our team manhandle other teams for an entire season that hadn't been done in a decade. And then for it to come down the way it did, and now I'm back to being a abused, like, puppy dog. I'm gun shy. I can't even enjoy the game. I'm stressed out. I got sweaty palms. I'm going nuts about bad penalty calls and watching Josh Norman grab Dez's jersey before he turns around, not getting the call, and then watching, the stupidest stuff happen. And then I'm like, what does it mean? I've seen this team before. This team's 9-7 and loses in the final game of the year for the division, for the playoff spot.
So that 12-4 year, you were actually, you of all people, were actually watching a game and not freaking out?
No, I was watching the game and freaking out, but those games, we were up a lot. We were controlling this.
Oh, yeah.
We were controlling a lot of those games. There were very few of those games where we down. For a lot of the
game, were
we in a bad spot?
And, we should have
been
13-3. Should have been 13-3.
Yeah.
We blew it. We blew it the game Romo got hurt. I missed the one game against Arizona. We blew that one, So, I mean, I'm with it. I'm happy. We got about 11 minutes left to go in the show. Again, I want to thank Mike from Pennsylvania for calling in. Check us out at anytime.news. But, again, I'm excited. I want to see the game tomorrow, so I know our future opponents. And then we got San Francisco, and we all know what San Francisco is. Okay, they're a train wreck. They're a joke. I honestly am not, super convinced San Francisco is going to be worth anything. They beat a terrible Rams team week one, and then they showed their true color today against Carolina, who's actually a good
team.
Yeah,
it's a fast-paced
so I'm not too worried
team,
about
though.
That.
It's a fast-paced team against a bunch of guys on our defense that aren't exactly –
the Cowboys
they're not exactly
–
come on. They've owned Chip Kelly because Chip Kelly has had who for quarterback? So when he's got us up on our
who's
heels
he got now?
And we
Blaine
can't
Gabbert?
Even breathe. I know.
He's got Blaine Gabbert and Mr. Neal's for the anthem. That's it.
Yeah, he should be putting Kaepernick in these games if he's smart, but I don't know what's going on. But I personally, I don't know, man. I don't like our conditioning.
You remember what they said in Philly last year? But, but no, I don't know. I honestly feel, and you might not agree with me, but again, me being Mr. Optimism like I always am, honestly feel looking at our schedule, let me pull it up here. I got it right in front of me. Looking at our schedule, because this team has not had success without Tony. Okay, this team was 1-11 last year without him. This was, we're now 2-15 without Romo. I think this team needed to go out there, desperately needed to go out there and prove that they can win without Tony. And they did that today. And I think that gives them a little confidence. The Bears coming next, followed by San Francisco. Okay, I see that as 2-1, 3-1. Okay, that's just my opinion. Then you've got Cincinnati. Tough game. Andy Dalton throws a lot. A.J. Green's going to be a real you-know-what to cover. That one could go either way. Okay, since I don't think Cincinnati's that great, but that game could go either way. And then we're at Green Bay, then we got a bye week. Okay, I think Romo will be back by then. And honestly, if this team, if we can sit pretty at 3-1, okay, let's just say Romo comes back after the San Fran game, and we're 3-1, I think we're in good position with Romo coming back. Now, if we just completely shit the bed, and we come back and we're 1-3, when Romo comes back, well, then maybe we're in some trouble. But right now, I think the team's got confidence. The defense is playing hard. They're not very good, but they're at least showing heart and playing hard. And, you know, right now, I've had a good Sunday. I had a tough weekend with college sports and things, so I'm happy that at least we got the win. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, Dustin, is when you see this team, okay, and you see the potential and the ability in this team, do you see right now making the playoffs, or are you not? Is it too early for you to say, or do you feel like this is the kind of team that is almost there but not quite good enough?
Our current team, do you think our current team can make the playoffs is the question?
Well, yeah, I think the division is trash. So I think, you know, the Redskins won the division by default last year because everybody else sucked. So I think that because of our division, yeah, do you think that this team has a shot to hoist up that that division trophy this year?
I mean, a division trophy is not like some, like, you know, some great thing. It just means you get to beat up on the same guys over and over again. Now, what's depressing is over the last 10 years, we've only won it like 3 times. But
yeah,
I've seen this before. Excuse me. I said that I've seen this team before. And obviously, that's not literally. I mean, I've seen this team before. I've seen running. I've seen close enough, but just not quite with the W. I've seen average passing, knife through butter defense. And this team that's in front of me right now, currently, the last 2 games, is 8-8, 9-7, losing with that shot on the line to make the playoffs. This team's not the team that's going to do anything. This team is the Dallas Cowboys of the new millennium. Average at best and a huge disappointment. Cares more about business than on-field production. That's what this Dallas Cowboys team is in front of me. Tony Romo comes back throwing strong, healthy, and fluid. Different story, a little bit better. Ezekiel Elliott starts running outside, strong, fast, not fumbling. Different story. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't end up being what he is, but Alfred Morris does and can give us even 75% of DeMarco Murray. Power run, smart, patient running behind, quote unquote, best offensive line in football, LOL. Different story. Randy Gregory shows up, finally decides he wants to do that number 94 good and do it justice. Different story. Do I think all that stuff's going to happen, Chris? I don't know, man. I'm optimistic, even though you think I'm not. I'm hoping for the best. I'm suiting up every day, throwing the jersey on, watching the game. If I was truly unoptimistic, I wouldn't even watch the games. I'd save myself the stress and just wait for the update.
Yeah, do you think Romo comes back healthy, or does he come back with a lot of rust?
No, he comes back rushed, R-U-S-H-E-D, and rusty. He comes back rushed and rusty because even though Dak Prescott, according to Chris McSwiggin, is getting the job done, he's not good enough. But Tony Romo is in his own head at this point, because all of game one, he looked like he was pouting because Dak was doing great, but it wasn't good enough for the W. And then what did you see in game two? Headset on, active, trying to help as much as he could, good teammate, because I think he knew, you know, I got to start helping this team out, because if I don't start helping this team out and they go 0-2, what kind of team am I getting back here at age 36 with my third back problem and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to coach Dak up for his own sake, because even if he does get his job back and even if he does get reinserted and Dak goes back to the bench, what are you inheriting, Tony? Are you inheriting a team that's 500? Are you inheriting a team that's completely in a hole? You know, why even bother coming back? So Tony's got to start helping Dak out for his own sake right now.
Yeah, and I like it. I'm with it. I think Romo comes back. If you remember last year against the Dolphins, his first game back, yeah, wasn't his best career game, but he came in and looked like a veteran quarterback. He got the job done, and we won 24-10. So, I mean, I'm with it, or 24-14, whatever it was. So I'm with it. I think Romo's still throwing. I think he's practicing. I think he's got the chemistry with this team. And, you know, I just hope we don't have a repeat of next year, or of last year, when he comes in, plays a game or two, and then goes down again. Because if that's the case, I really think his career is over. But I'm optimistic for Romo. Obviously, I love me some Romo. I think he's a top 10 quarterback. I personally, and maybe this is biased, but would even put him top 5 when he's healthy. But, you know, the problem is he can't stay healthy. So if we can get the run game going, we can get Morris going, we can get, you know, design an offense for Romo that gets the ball out quick and keeps him healthy, and great, because I think that's the best shot we got to win games. I think we win both of these games with Romo. I think we beat the Giants convincingly with Romo. And today, I think also this team, I think we beat convincingly with Romo. So, you know, who knows? I've seen it happen before. I've seen Romo choke, obviously, but I've also seen him just take over games. And he's not 100%. I don't think when he comes back he's going to be 100%. But I know that, you know, here at the Stars Align and here at Overtime.News, you know, I think the best case scenario right now for the team would be just go out there and, you know, when he does come back, make sure you're 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, whatever it may be. Give him some wins to work around. Make it so the pressure's not on him to go out there and perform and go out there and have to win games and make plays that are going to put his health at risk. And, you know, get him some W's and get him some cushion, and I think we'll be just fine. So, again, we are here. Stars Align after every game. There'll be a late one next week, Sunday Night Football. But we're here with about a minute left in the show, so I'm going to kick it to the outro, and we will see you next week. But one thing I want to do, though, Dustin, before you hit that beautiful button, because I couldn't do this last week. So for any of you out there listening, I just want to let you know this.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! All right, we'll see you next week.
I say-